Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back goes Mahomes. He fires. It's intercepted on a deflection. There's the turnover. Intercepted by Makuba. Down the far sideline he goes, all the way across the 40. There is the interception that could change this game dramatically.
Well, a huge play in the game. Frankly, the biggest. Hard to talk over Lay Down Sally. I mean, it's Lay Down Patrick. Man, he doesn't have much around him. Holy mackerel. All right, hope you're having a great start to your Monday morning. We got a 2-0 football team. By the way, that's a shame about Joe Burrow. But
well, it's the Bengals' fault.
He gets in the bad line.
That line has been bottom in the league the entire time he's been in the league.
You could see it clearly last year when the Eagles played him.
It's unbelievable.
Horrendous line.
And a bad defense last year, too.
Now this is grade 3.
It's a shame. I mean, he's a great quarterback.
He's
getting hurt a lot. Hurt a lot. All right, let's welcome in. Speaking of, you were talking about Makuba earlier, a player that certainly has a knack for the ball. Well, we talked earlier about Seth Joyner had a knack for the football. When I think of Eagles defenders in my lifetime, that had a knack for the ball, I think first and foremost of Seth Joyner, William Thomas, and Brian Dawkins. Those three really brought it. Seth with us every Monday in studio for an entire hour, and presented by the wonderful people at Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water matters, so whether it's a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit bradfordwhite.com. Good morning, Seth.
What up?
How are you, pal?
Good, man.
Okay.
Good.
How do you feel? How do you feel?
I feel good, man. Eagles are 2-0. Through this mini preseason, so it's all good, man.
You think that's a lot of what it is, getting the kinks out?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, nobody's lighting it up. I mean, when you look around the rest of the league, the rest of the league is
struggling.
The
Lions lit it up yesterday.
Well, they laid a dud week
they
one.
They did week one.
Yeah, they did.
So here
they
we
stunk.
Go. You know, this is how the first 4 weeks normally look. You may look outstanding 1 week, and you may look terrible the following week or vice versa. So it just is what it is.
Joe's convinced that Kansas City stinks.
Not
and
stinks.
Won't make the playoffs.
Not stinks, but isn't very good and
I
won't make the playoffs.
I contend that they are a better team, that defense, the Kansas City defense, is what created problems for the most part yesterday for our offense. They did a good job defensively. Kansas City did. Didn't they, Seth?
They could be on the verge of the dynasty beginning to crack. Because for some reason or another, similar to Cincinnati and Rhea's point with Cincinnati, they can't figure out their offensive line situation. And they've traded, they've used draft capital, you name it. And they just cannot seem to, remedy the situation. So, people talk about Jalen and, his inability to do this and the players that are around him. I would say, you can't fault Jalen for having the best GM in the National Football League for putting the players and the supporting cast around him so that he can be successful. Now, Mahomes has had to do a lot of it on his own, but I'm of the opinion that that's kind of fallen by the wayside, he's got some injuries. But the kind of pressure that the Eagles put on him in the Super Bowl and the kind of pressure they put on him in the first half of last week, I don't think it would have mattered that Rashee Rice and Worthy would have been present yesterday. It wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, Mahomes is fighting two fights, in my opinion, right now. One, his team with less around and what he can do this year. But he's in that Brady-Montana thing, that conversation. And the last three games... Well, two of the last three games he's played has not looked good for him on that conversation.
No,
long way to go, but I'm just saying.
Never seen him look as bad as he looked yesterday, especially in the first half.
Yeah.
Because they brought some pressure, and, you guys hear me say it all the time, and I tweet it when I saw it. I mean, you know, Vic Fangio was out of his mind yesterday in the first half.
Had to make you proud, man.
They came after him 19% of the time. I think like 5 out of 7 plays in a row, they came after him.
And they were dogging the backers. I mean, like now we just have so much skill and speed at inside linebacker. It just feels like we can send them from depth and you know, like one goes and the other one can man up on Travis Kelce. You know, what a gift.
Yeah.
That you can do stuff like that.
But that's why, I've been saying for years, I'm like, you can't ignore that position because it's so critical, especially in today's game.
Yeah.
You know, in today's game, you are only playing with two. And depending on down and distance and, you know, what the data says, you know, sometimes you're only playing with one.
But I don't ever want to play with just one because our two are so phenomenal the way that they're just going to continue to improve together.
See, and they both can cover tight ends. So if you want to save the safety or you want to save your slot guy, you don't necessarily have to put him, you know, in that situation.
With a linebacker.
Yeah.
This is not normal can use your inside linebackers for coverage purposes.
Yeah.
These guys can cover the whole field. Yesterday, there were a few plays. What's that?
And blitz.
Yes. They'll blitz. I mean, Jihad was stemming up to the edge of the line of scrimmage sometimes, so you were seeing like some inkling of what that could look like. But, man, there were a few times where the depth that he got on his drop in terms of, like, I'm just saying, it felt like he was 50 yards downfield in the blink of an eye.
It's what Urlacher used to do.
Yeah.
Urlacher would do that a lot.
Even faster. I mean, I'm telling you, Urlacher, man, he was a monster. No question.
Yeah.
But this is even more special than that.
Let me ask you this question, then we'll get to the calls. I want to get a lot of calls here. Before the season started, I was concerned that the Eagles' defense might become average because of losing the 5 or 6 players from last year. I knew they still had their 4 best in Carter, DeJean, Quinyon, and Bond. But I thought they lost like a bunch of other dudes. And I thought, they could become average. Do you feel confident, barring injury, that they are very good defensively?
Well, first of all, I wasn't concerned.
Nor I.
You know, I think you have to look at the players and where they were in their careers to understand what they lost and what the level of concern really would be. Would we have loved to have kept, you know, Milton Williams and C.J. Gardner-Johnson? Absolutely. You know, but when the Eagles made the decision to go young, like, I wasn't worrying about losing Slay. I think the bigger mistake was letting Isaiah Rodgers walk away, you know, and hoping that Kelee Ringo and Eli Ricks could take the step to the next level.
And that is still the biggest concern. That spot is clearly.
Absolutely. Because they let the wrong guy out of the building, in my opinion. I thought all along that the succession would be to Isaiah Rodgers, and they let him walk away, and he went to Minnesota, got a $10 million deal. I'm like, well, you could have gave him that to keep him here, I think.
Right.
You know, Josh Sweat was a 7-8 on average a year. You know, that's replaceable.
A play yesterday, Josh Sweat did.
And then you had
a fumble.
Then you had
BG and Milton, you had Sweat, Slay, CJ, you know, GJ.
BG was already a role player at the time. So really the only, you know, the big question was, can you replace Milton's production? And even at that, I believe he only gave you 5 sacks last year.
Yeah.
He just blew up at the right time and had a big game at the right time, and they weren't going to pay, you know, with somebody $100+ million for a defensive tackle. So I wasn't concerned. The concern was, you know, could we fill those voids? And I think that the answer is yes.
I am highly encouraged with what I'm seeing defensively.
I think
it's really impressive what they, because this is the opposite of what happened in 23.
Just wait till they start
23,
getting,
they didn't replace well. It looks like they did this time.
Remember talking about, just wait until they get more complex. Wait until they upgrade and start doing things that make it harder on offenses to conceptualize what they're looking at. Just wait until they start stemming right before, like, shifting right before the snap, like they did yesterday with Jihad. It really messes with offenses when they have to try to figure out who's who and who they're blocking. Last year, it was pretty like streamlined. Our defense was pretty straightforward. We start mixing it up and adding this new dimension of difficulty, so to speak. We're that much.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Better.
I think that there's even more in Vic's bag of tricks that he has, because you know what I haven't seen yet? I haven't seen the give him a look over here and drop out and play zone behind it and bring the pressure, because you forced them to adjust their protection. So it looks like we're coming over here. Yeah. And then we drop out, and we got the protection to slide left, and then we come off the other side.
Yeah, like a Cooper DeJean blitz.
Yeah, LB, so I mean, right.
Yeah.
So I mean,
devastating.
And I guess, you know, when you do what you did with two rookies last year, and then you come back and you follow it up, and you got two more new rookies this year, you know, they must be drafting some highly intelligent players to be able to do so.
Yeah, you know, this might be the greatest run of Eagles first and second round draft picks ever. It might be. Ever since they messed up the regular Justin Jefferson thing, from 2020, second-round pick big. On, from Hurts, help me out, Gene, Hurts, Devontae Dickerson, 22 was...
Cam in the second round, who was in the first
and
round?
And the A.J. trade, well, they traded
A.J. trade and Jordan Davis, that's right, Jordan Davis, A.J. trade, then the next year is Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Jalen Hunt was the third round, right? And then last year... Campbell and Makubo, early returns are great.
And then Quinion and
Cooper, yep.
I mean, that's
an entire defense.
I mean, that is really something. All right, let's know what
is Jalex playing well? Like, is Jalex Hunt playing up to your expectations to be out there starting?
Listen, it's early, and I think that he'll get there. It's an experience thing at the same time. I thought he was coming on towards the end of the year. That's why they were comfortable with doing what they did. But I think when you turn around and you bring in Za'Darius Smith, that kind of speaks volumes too.
And I agree.
And
he's good.
I like that move. I like that move because when you look at Hunt, Uche, and Nolan Smith, they all look like the same type of players, you know. And everybody calls them outside linebackers. When you're playing a four-man line, guess what you are? If you're one of those down guys, you're a defensive end. But when they bring in Za'Darius Smith, now, in my opinion, they have a true defensive end.
Like a 4-3 defensive end.
And you need
270 guy.
You need that size.
Yep.
You know, because that's kind of what Josh Sweat was. Those other three guys, you can line them up in the five-man front and drop them if you want to.
Yep.
But you're not dropping Za'Darius Smith. He's either going to be playing the run or he's going to be rushing the passer. So you have more of a traditional style defensive end, and I felt like that's what they were missing.
All right, let's get some calls in here. Seth with us for an entire hour. Let's get to John and Manayunk. John, good morning, buddy.
What up, fellas? Seth, hey, love you on the show, man. I love your analysis, dude. You're the man. I actually had your action figure back in the 90s.
You had to play with that. That's so cool.
Thanks, man.
I had Seth's haircut back in the 90s. No, I didn't have that.
I actually lost the helmet to the action figure too, so you were always fighting my other action figures without a helmet on, so you were extra tough.
Even tougher, wow.
Yeah, man. No, real quick, you know what, like, everything makes sense so far where, you know, everyone said they're going to have the Super Bowl hangover, and they do a little bit. You can tell with the sloppy play, especially in the offense, but they also said that they were doing tons of countermeasures to not let that affect them, and I think you see that with the 2-0. And they were sloppy wins, but they still won. And
so I don't think it's Super Bowl hangover at all, John. I really don't. Here's what I think it more is. People got so fixated on how they finished the season offensively passing the ball in the last two games, and I think a lot of people forgot what it was for 15 to 18 games. I think they're just kind of back to that. Mm-hmm. That to me is more what it is.
I was kind of surprised, thinking that, you know what, you know, Saquon had so many yardage on him, they're gonna be doing a lot more airing the ball out. But you know what? They're keeping to the same tempo that they won the Super Bowl with. They're pounding the rock, and
pretty
they're
much,
winning games,
yeah, exactly.
And they're winning with defense. And yeah. I'll tell you what, like you said, obviously they had the pick. Zach Bond had a killer play. DeJean had an open field tackle that was just excellent yesterday. They looked sharp. They had a couple of field goals that were solid. Like they just look like the Super Bowl reigning champs. And the pressure's off somewhat because you just won, and it's going to be a fun year for us to watch. And I just couldn't be more thrilled. And the Phillies are on. It's Monday, but we got Seth on, and we're 2-0, baby. So,
you got
great
it.
Great show, and that's all I got, man. I
John,
love you guys.
Appreciate it, buddy. Let's listen to Jalen after the game, spreading a lot of praise around to a lot of people, different parts of the team. Here's Jalen Hurts postgame.
We showed up when we needed to the most, and that's the most important thing in this league is finding ways to win. Jake Elliott is showing up and making a big-time kick before half and earlier in the game as well. Defense showing up and getting a turnover when it was needed, you know, and we know how important the turnover battle is. Being able to play turnover-free football, in a sense, that helps as well. And showing up when the moment requires someone to show up, and hell of a play by Smitty. Same play he made 2 years ago, the same part of the field, other one ended in a score. I just think overall, everybody staying within themselves and finding a way to win is something that you have to take pride in. Take pride in winning one, and take pride in what is required of you to win. And I think as a team, you know, defensively they play lights out. Offensively, we showed up when we needed to. 2-6 showed up when we needed him to, and we just want to continue to build.
He does strike me as more comfortable this year with the microphone and just the way he presents.
100%.
Right? He just sounds...
Oh, yeah.
Sounds
he doesn't sound like a robot.
I think he worked on it because he works on everything that is...
I agree with that.
You know, he's not good at it. He works at it.
I agree.
Hey, Seth,
what do you...
The question, the end of the game when they came back, Tyquan Thornton, that touchdown where Quinion was, it looked like he was beaten in the end zone for the big play. I just wondered, you know exactly how everything fits together on the back end. It looked like Reed Blankenship jumped the underneath, but I wanted to know what you thought.
Well,
first of all,
I don't understand why they weren't in too high safety anyway. They really should have been in a quarters coverage look. And if they were in quarters, where was the safety on the other side? Because if they have that dig route and that's his job to drive it, then that means that opposite side safety has to get back over top on the other side if he has no vertical threat.
So you think maybe it was a combination coverage that wasn't communicated properly on the other side and it hung Quinion out to dry?
I sound like Nick Sirianni. I got to see the film in order...
Yeah. No, you do, though. I mean, right now,
there's no, like, all 22, so it's like, oh, man, I can't see that guy.
7:25 tomorrow, Jaws will be with us. He'll have broken it down by then. And,
I got to see the film to actually see where they started off, you know, coverage-wise, because it looked like Reed jumped that route, that underneath route, that crossing route really quick,
hard, you know, and inexplicably, and all in.
Yeah.
Looked like Quinion was expecting that Reed would be there.
I don't think it was Quinion's fault. That was my sense.
I thought
he did a hell of a job getting back to where he got to. Yeah. All right, let's go to OG Wade. Wade, what up, buddy?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Doing great, Wade.
SG, I should say.
What's that?
Hey, let me say this here to you, Joe. Where'd you get that spray paint from?
Wait, where'd I get what from?
That blue paint that you sprayed on your ankle.
What do you think? I'm Curt Schilling with the bloody sock that's ketchup?
Yeah.
No, so I fell on a dude's foot, man. I'm playing hoops.
Athletic, your ankle won't even sprain.
Let me tell you something, man. After I'm done with Fritz, I'll kick your ass in basketball. If that's what it takes to prove it, I'll do it. I'm like Jalen. I'll do whatever it takes to get the W. All right?
There you go. Let me address this idiot, Chuck from Mount Airy. I mean, this guy is. He just keep on uncovering his lack of knowledge of the game.
Uh-oh.
You got to understand that what the Chargers did to the Kansas City Chiefs deep offense or defense, it's not the same. We don't run the same offense as the Chargers run. So Jalen's not going to throw for 300 yards against Kansas City. I don't even know if we all realize what just happened yesterday. Kansas City came into this game having to win this game, needing to win this game. Everything, all the chips on the board. This is for their playoff life. And we beat them. You know how hard that is to beat a team that's, number one, coming in with a revenge factor. Sure. And now you got their back up against the wall. Everybody says Patrick Mahomes is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
He is.
So you got all of these things working against
except for one big thing, Wade. I don't think they're that good anymore. I'm telling you, I think to the Golden State Warriors the last 3 years, who also got to five or six championship rounds, won three of them, had either the best or one of the two best players in the world, second best, he was behind LeBron, and then like everything crumbled, and it was just like Steph and everybody else, like just
but
this team reminds me of now.
I don't want you to underestimate the greatness of Kansas City. Kansas City for the last 3 years has been a defensive team.
Yeah,
just never gave them the credit. We all given Patrick Mahomes this credit. If you look at the team as a whole, Kansas City has been a defensive team. Jalen Hurts is going up against the greatest defensive coordinator in all of football, in the history of the NFL, okay? And he continues to win.
But he's up there. I get your – listen, Wade, I get it. I got you. All right, listen, Wade, call us back later this week when we got more time.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.